Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome back to the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall. With me, as always, Eric Wayne. Eric, the lost show from last week, real show. It's a shame people couldn't hear it. It was Hot Take City.
Oh, you know, it was probably our best one ever. And yeah, just a shame that it never saw the light of day for some reason.
Didn't you call?
We worked so hard on it, right?
Yeah. Didn't you call Max striking out 20 guys?
Oh, yeah. Totally predicted that.
I guess
it's lost to the sands of time.
Yeah, there were some scorching Trump takes for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing but straight heat.
But on the reels, I had a softball tournament on Saturday, and schedules kind of prohibited us from recording on Sunday, and thus there was no episode. But you can calm your separation anxiety issues. We're back for the foreseeable future, huh?
Yes. And what's exciting is I received a message from one person who noticed we did not do the podcast last week. So thank you, person who I've forgotten. But it's nice to be missed.
Yeah, a digital tip of the cap to that person.
Yeah, thank you.
So speaking of big events in my life in the last week, I work in marketing, and I'm regularly making materials, you know, to distribute, and we have some digital signage in our office that I'm always fiddling with and whatnot. So I'm making crap all the time.
Yeah.
Well, this week, it comes to my attention that there are websites out there that you can download fonts from to your computer that you can use in Word and PowerPoint and whatnot. You can't see this because it's an audio podcast, but mind absolutely blown.
What are you are you not aware that you can download free fonts to your
I wasn't.
Computer?
Now I am. That's where
it's
this
like
is going.
Defont.com.
That's exactly
or
right.
1001 fonts. This is a serious thing. You've been working in marketing and graphics, and you do not know that you can do this.
I've maxed the crap out of the standard Microsoft fonts.
Oh, I imagine so.
Each of them have been used 7.5 times.
Your palette now is just going to be, you know, expanded beyond belief. Your creativity shall know no bounds.
Yeah, so needless to say, I've spent the remainder of the week doing absolutely nothing but downloading fonts. It's kind of one of those things, like, I didn't realize that I had gone full nerd, but this kind of thing happens, and you're like, oh, yeah, I am.
Did you see my Major League logos redesigned with awful fonts that I did?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. If you just Google it, bless you. It was on Bless You Boys. I redesigned every Major League logo with an awful font.
Fair enough. I'll have to Google that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
You should all Google that and then retweet it. And
I'll put it on the
on the line.
I'm struggling to talk since I'm about 3 90-minute IPAs into this podcast already. It might get messy. I apologize for nothing.
I think the more messy it is, the better it'll be. So this brings us to this week's leadoff question. Which tiger most closely resembles Microsoft font? And of course, which font?
I have a few. Do you have one?
I do, yeah.
Okay, do you want to go first? I feel like I always go first in this segment.
I can. Yeah. I picked a font that's sturdy, extremely wide and probably not to be used in any circumstances, and that is wide Latin. It's,
yes,
it's quite large. And I picked the tiger that that represented to be Jean Lamont.
Jean Lamont. I also picked wide Latin.
Really?
As one of my three. But I thought Cabrera because he is Latin. I mean, right? You're gonna Jean is very Caucasian. You should pick the wide Latin guy. Although Jean is more wide, I would say.
I don't think that's arguable.
Yes. Okay, so I had Andy Dirks was Times New Roman. Because he's just a ball player and incredibly boring and very standard. He spoke in nothing but cliches, I feel like, Andy Dirks. Mm-hmm. But he's not a current Tiger. So for my current Tiger, I'm going to pick Mike Aviles is Wingdings. Because why do we have it? Why is there Wingdings? Nobody wants Wingdings. It doesn't make any sense why you even have it.
I would love to know the person who's scrolling through these looking, and they come across Wingdings, and they're like, yep, that suits my situation.
That's what I need. Mm-hmm. It's just like Aviles. It's pretty useless.
Speaking of Aviles, he gave me one of my favorite Tigers moments of the year today. It was against the Orioles. He had a half check swing that he struck out on. And then the following inning, he goes out into the field and he makes an error. And
kicks that one,
directly
man.
After the error, there's like seven tweets on my feed that say, well, apparently he can't field either. Yes, because one error right now definitely proves that he can't field. Is he a great fielder? Whatever. But extremely anecdotal. Let's not get carried away here.
I feel like I've seen him make more errors, though. He's not been great.
No, he has not. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com or on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric's Twitter account is blowing up right now at ComericEric, and the show is Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe. More than the first mention of subscribe on this show. Rate, review us on iTunes. And like we said before, if you take a screenshot of your review and tweet it to me or the show's account, I will retweet it and show it some love.
Yeah. You know, if you just say subscribe far enough, like people are just going to change the word to subscribe.
All right.
To make it easy for you.
I think that's what we'll do.
That's how language changes.
Since the last time we spoke, the Tigers have fallen on some hard times. I'm not sure if you've stayed up on the story, Eric, but in the last 2 weeks, they've dropped 11 of 13. Are you hanging in there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an, you know, jumping over the edge person like some others, but some other people are like blowing a head gasket. The Tigers are not playing well right now. They are sucking.
That's the.
I don't know how else to say it.
That's the analysis that we bring. No, they are poo emoji. Although, right. I tweeted this out today. And were you watching the game this afternoon?
Yeah, of course. What else would I be doing?
That's true.
I have no life.
The two home runs that they hit to tie and take the lead. I can't help but feel like there was a little bit of substance there. I know. I just want to see it. But I saw those two, and I'm like, all right, life. And then we didn't blow the lead. And I'm like, okay, maybe there's some life here.
We're not as garbage as what we've shown over the last 14 games.
That's very true. And we've seen some incredible pitching over the last 14 games.
You know, there's been a few things that have set us back. The hitting, our good hitters have not been hitting good, and our mediocre hitters have been hitting bad. And we've had some good starting pitching performances, but many of the starting pitching performances have been bad. And the bullpen all of a sudden has decided to go from fairly solid to now regressing a little bit. And it's just a toxic mix of all different aspects not coming together. And frankly, we've been playing a little better competition too. So you just get all this in a swirl, and we've just lost a bunch of games.
So according to Tigers Twitter, the only logical jumping off point for us this week has been the story that just won't go away. And that is the seemingly forthcoming termination of our beloved manager, Brad Ausmus. He's still in a job, and to play the role of a shrink, how do you feel about that?
How do I feel? I feel like it's not his fault that bad things are happening. But I will also say his kind of attitude and approach and handle on the team hasn't been one where he's helping them pull out of it either. I don't get Dog Ausmus too much for his tactics. I mean, there's a few tactics here and there where I raise an eyebrow, like, eh, that's kind of gross. But I fault him more for, like, why aren't we trying something? When you lose several games in a row, you know, yell at somebody, do something different, mix up the lineup, you know, just get creative. And he hasn't done any of that.
Yeah, definitely. The way I see it is, like, you know, I feel like maybe I fall under the apologist category, but the starting pitching has been really, really rough. The clutch hitting has been virtually non-existent. Like we said, bullpen has gone full 2015 on us. Like, if you want to make the case that he's the head man, the buck stops with him, he is accountable for all of that, then, you know, fair enough. All of those have not been good. But what do you actually expect a manager to do about the actual, you know, processes of getting base hits, getting outs? Like you said, there are things that he could have done at various points to just throw some new ideas out there, to give different looks. Go ahead.
But bottom line, I mean, you cannot make Cabrera hit better with the bases loaded. That's right. I mean, what are you going to possibly tell the guy to make him hit?
Cabrera.
Right. You can't, you know, you're going to send Justin Verlander out there. You're going to send Zimmerman out there. I mean, some of the guys, maybe you can say something to or whatever, but these are multi-million dollar ball players with big track records and who can handle themselves. You send them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know, like we said, they are multi-million dollar ball players, but the constant speculation of, is today the day? Is he gone? If they, you know, get swept by the Orioles, I know that they are, you know, they're supposed to be baseball machines and they're robots who just go out there and do a job. But when JD was talking about in his post-game press conference today, you know, if you're going out there thinking that if I play poorly today, I might cost a guy who, you know, they obviously all love Brad. If I might love Brad.
What would I do without Brad? The commercial's perfect for that all of a sudden. Yeah.
If what was I? If he costs, you know, Brad his job, then if he plays bad, like, that is an extraordinary amount of pressure to be put on yourself, in addition to the fact that your job is to win baseball games. It's so self-defeating.
Yeah, I would agree. But that's why, I mean, owners and GMs, like, give their guy a vote of confidence or they pull the plug. Right. You either got to be 100% behind your guy or you just make the move.
And
right.
To my knowledge, Avila has been notorious, you know, quiet. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So the thing with Brad, though, is he comes out and he says the same thing, you know, oh, it's part of my job to, you know, it's part of my job is taking heat, but it's not going to change the way we prepare. We do everything the same. And I think that's what drives fans insane, because you're watching this turd of a team spiral down the toilet and you're, oh, yep, we're not doing anything different. We're preparing the same. Our preparation is good. And you kind of want your managers to say, this is unacceptable. We're going to try something different. I'm pissed off. You know, fans want a little bit of that. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think Brad has it in him to do that. I don't think he has it in him to kick anyone's butt. And I don't think he has it in him to not compromise isn't the right word, but I mean, he clearly believes in his process, which I don't, you know, to be fair, I don't know what that is. But he's not backing down from that. The thing is I see the logic to getting rid of him. Like, there's certainly, you know, we clearly do need to hear some new voices, some new ideas left.
Yeah.
And there is still time to save the season. But I don't know. Is the bringing in I feel like it's anecdotal, you know, it's all in my head, but I feel like there is a little bit of a bump when you bring in a new manager.
Sure. Yep.
Is that something?
A charge of excitement, you know, a new face, a new voice. Yeah.
And honestly, the timing right now is really interesting. I was looking ahead at the schedule, and we're coming into such a massive stretch. A lot's been made about the next nine games. Minnesota, somehow 5.5 games worse than us. Tampa is, I believe, in fourth place in the AL East. And the Phillies, who actually have been good, they're still the Phillies. Like, we're coming into nine games that we easily should be taking 6+ from, on paper.
Yep. You should.
Do you think that we should be kind of parlaying the poor competition that we're going to be playing with the bump from the new manager and hope to get some momentum?
I don't think you should fire Brad. I mean, some people would think, yeah, you should fire him, but I'm not one of those guys yet. I mean, I think there's something to be said for a little bit of continuity too. And another thing is, okay, you fire him. Mm-hmm. Who is going to replace him?
That is a very interesting question. I feel like the name on everyone's tongue is Gartenhire. I mean, that's what I've seen.
I've seen a lot of, well, practically, it's at least for an interim situation, it's going to be either Gene Lamont.
Or Lloyd, yeah.
Or Lloyd, and I don't think it's going to be Lloyd, because then you have to replace two managers.
That's true.
So if it's Gene, what you have with Gene. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gene's been around forever. He's not a fresh face. He's not somebody new. There's a bunch of other names out there, and I'm sure you could find somebody, but I don't know how much you really accomplish. There's a reason why a manager makes, I don't know, how much do you think Brad Ausmus makes? $1 million a year?
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere 1 to 2, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a reason why they make that amount of money and Cabrera makes the type of money that he does, and Verlander and Zimmerman and Kinsler make their kind of money, because they contribute more to wins than the manager. The dollar signs tell you that.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting, if he makes it through the nine games coming up with a decent record, we head into, I was looking at it, West Coast trip, Oakland and LA. We never win there, let's be honest.
Yeah, that always sucks.
We come home to play the White Sox and then the Jays, which those will not be easy. Road trip, Yankees, White Sox, Kansas City. If things don't go well, we could be done after that. Like, it's early to call it on the season, but we could be done after those, what's that, six, seven series.
So what are you telling me, Hall?
I'm telling you that I would rather go into this, for me, make or break period with Ausmus, somebody who's been there, the guys are comfortable with, then to throw in Maniacta. Just
right.
I think that for these crucial games, and obviously we're well below 500, every game from here on out is going to be crucial, but this is such a massive stretch. Give me the guy that they know, the guy that they respect. And yep. let's try and get through this, and then maybe we reevaluate after that.
Yep, I'm kind of with you. I'm with you, but if I learned tomorrow that they'd fired Ausmus and I found a good replacement, would it break my heart? No, it would not.
No, absolutely not. And I see where the fire Ausmus logic is coming from. It's definitely not unfounded. I just wouldn't. I was looking. Gartenhire lost 90 games or more in each of his last four seasons in Minnesota. That's not a deal.
Yeah, Gartenhire is a poor choice. Acta would make more sense to me.
Yeah. Let's see.
I saw Bud Black.
Bud Black's out there. I guess I don't know. I mean, he had pretty decent success in San Diego.
Can we all agree that Leland is not coming back?
It's not going to happen. I don't understand why would he?
Word on the street, he's been a little bit bored. But he picked up the baseball classic, World Baseball Classic, USA job. I think that's enough to keep him busy and entertained.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to take the he won't take the Tigers job.
I wouldn't think so. And I heard that he's relatively loyal to Brad. I mean, you don't take your best friend's old job.
And so what are you going to do? The team is too crappy for the first guy, so you're going to take it?
Yeah.
It's like, I have a used car. It doesn't really run, but here, you take it. That doesn't make any sense.
People forget, we were all hashtag fire Leland by the end. Like, we were all ready for him to go.
Yeah, of course.
It's straight grass is greener.
Yeah, that's not a choice.
Okay, let's move on to something that's been halfway decent, and that's Steven Moya's call-up. In his first four games, he's gone 6 for 15 with three extra base hits, hitting a grand total of 400. And I remiss to say this, only 4 Ks in those four games. Have the Moya truthers been right?
I guess. I was kind of poo-pooing Moya when he got called up, and I took a lot of crap for it because I felt like it didn't solve a lot of problems. And I was like, well, how and where is he going to play?
Exactly, yeah.
And they solved that problem. I put solve in quotation marks here by moving Upton to center field. And to me, that was a little goofy because it solved a problem that we didn't really have. And also, where is he going to play? Like, you got Upton in left, and they solved this issue, and I put solve in quotation marks by moving Upton to center.
Yeah, when he got called up, like, Tigers Twitter seemed, boom, we're moving Upton to center, and he's playing every day. And to me, that was like, no, that surely can't be, because he's never played a game in center field.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
Sure enough, they were right. They're very infrequently right, but they were on that one. And I got to be honest with you, Upton had one little wobble in that first game. And other than that, he hasn't looked terrible in center.
Right, but this is center at Camden Yards. True. This is not center at Comerica. And people are kind of giving me a hard time. I'm like, you can't play Upton in center. And like, hell, you can't. And this is Baltimore. And yeah, I guess he did okay. It shows that I know. But he cannot play center in Comerica, can he?
We're going to find out. The thing is if we keep running him out there, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when he costs us a game. Like, there's no reason he can't become a good center fielder. Like, he's fast, he gets good reads, but he's never done it. Like, there's going to be some growing pains, and we're going to have to be okay with that. And speaking of growing pains, Moya is not the world's greatest left fielder. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, there was one today where if he gets 6 inches further back and catches that ball, it saves us a lot of trouble. No, he's not especially smooth.
But the bat so far, I mean,
yeah,
he hasn't faced any lefties to my knowledge. I think Avilas pinched hit for him against a lefty late in the game. That wasn't Brad's finest moment. But it's also not Avilas' finest moment, if you know what I'm saying. So far, so good. I mean,
yeah. Yep. The trick will be finding enough spots for him.
Let's see. Maybin.
I have to say, he is an outfielder, which is good for outfielders to play in the outfield. I don't know if you know this, but Brad has been playing a lot of infielders in the outfield, and that is a bad decision. So I was happy to see another outfielder. Come on.
Maybin. Speaking of outfielders, yeah, who play the outfielder.
This segues into what you're going to talk about.
He was called up today after the game. Anthony Gose. Our beloved Aunt Tony Gose sent down. So I'm assuming
he was the
DFA. Although I'm assuming he had options left. So
you're kidding? That's one I did not catch.
So Gose is gonna be playing for the Mud Hens.
Unbelievable. Gose is at least useful defensively, but he has not hit a lick.
No, he is quite terrible. So Maybin, I'm assuming, against lefty starters and Moya against righties, and then move Upton to center?
I mean, is that I guess.
That's editorializing.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the plan.
Yeah. I'd like to see, obviously Maybin hasn't had the greatest time down in Toledo, but I'd like to see him get a run of games in center. I think that would be, there's talent there.
Can be worse.
And he's actually a center fielder.
He's not Tyler Collins a center fielder. He's not Justin Upton a center fielder. He's an actual center fielder.
The thing is, though, if we give him a run of games, he probably will get injured. So maybe we shouldn't wish that.
He's had bad luck. He got hit in the wrist twice with pitches. That sucks.
Except for the bad luck has literally been his entire career. So I'm not holding my breath that that's going to right itself.
Okay.
I don't know what night this was. It was a while back at this point. Max Scherzer, our beloved Maxwell, he had himself a night.
Yep. Yep.
He struck out 20 Tigers. What was your reaction to watching it unfold? I'm
curious. I had such mixed feelings. I really did. So I'm watching him mow down our guys with vicious efficiency. But then JD hits that bomb, right? Mm-hmm. And then we got a guy on, right? And because we were down by one and we had a guy on. So I went from cheering to like, wow, this could be a really record-setting thing to like, hit a home run, we can win this game.
But in a more real sense, we couldn't win the game.
No, but my brain was like, I'm rooting for the Tigers because that's what I do. Like, you know what? It was a weird scenario. I wanted him to both give up the lead and get the record.
That would have been the great compromise. I could have lived with that.
So I forget who was up. It was somebody with some power because I thought, oh, they could hit a home. Castellanos, I forget. So if they hit a home run, then we're up by a run, then he strikes out the next guy.
Mm-hmm. No, I think
that's unlikely, but that would have been interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't Castellanos because the big outcry was that Castellanos was on deck when the game, because that was clearly the difference between us winning and losing. Yeah, it was tough. Like, it's Max. You know what I mean? Like he's been gone for a year and a half now, but I still can't help but feel like he's one of ours.
Yeah, but you still have some love for the guy, right?
And the post game interview was nice. Like I like Max. He was definitely one of my favorite players. And it made me miss kind of what was. Like, you know, the days when Justin was so great and Annie Ball was great and Max was running out there every fifth day. Like, you know, obviously I like this incarnation of the Tigers too, but man, looking back, I should have enjoyed those days more.
Yeah. Yep. No, I wish him well. It was a neat dominating performance, and hey, sometimes you run into a buzzsaw.
He said that he liked the 20Ks more than the no hitters he threw last year. What would you have preferred?
There's been a lot of no hitters, but there's only been a couple of 20 strikeout games. And I feel like 20 strikeout games, that's more brute power. And I feel like with a no hitter, you need to get a little bit lucky.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So it can be all the strikeouts are probably more dominant even than a no hitter. Cause there's always a flashy defensive play or a ball that gets scored as an error instead of a hit. You know, there's always something goofy like that.
Just as you, Darvish.
Right.
All right, let's move on to some hot shots. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What were your thoughts on Dan in the Fox Sports Detroit booth?
I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm always in favor of more Dan.
Dan is as good as it gets. Like, I feel like we talk about him fairly regularly. He is so good. It doesn't matter what he's doing.
You know, you may laugh at me for this, and maybe it's premature, but do you know how much love people give Ernie? Like, looking back, and they say, oh, Ernie Harwell this and early Ernie Harwell that. Give it enough years, and that's how people will talk about Dan Dickerson.
Definitely.
I can't stress it enough. He is brilliant at turning numbers into a story that makes sense. Like, oh, this guy's pitch is doing this, and the numbers show it, and he's amazing. I think we're spoiled with him. I really do.
Absolutely. And Mario in the radio booth, he's not quite on the same level, but he's really good too. I tried to do a little bit of both for each game. I have the At-Bat app. So I was trying to listen to a little of Mario and check out a little bit of Dan in the booth. They're both so good. You know, you said it before, embarrassment of riches, at least as far
I listened
as play-by-play.
To Mario some on the radio, and it felt like there were some gaps. Like he wasn't. I mean, you could tell he was stepping up the word count for radio, but maybe it needed a little bit more adjustment period. But I don't know. They're both great.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done TV, so I can't I've done baseball games on the radio. I've never done TV, so I can't imagine that. You know, it's such a different monster. You would think that would be something you would really have to kind of prepare to go from TV to radio.
Yeah, it's not super fair for those guys to kind of jerk them around. But I like to hear Dan. That was fun.
Yeah, Jim. I forget. It must have been Mario talking on the TV broadcast once he got back, saying that Jim called him Dan until the fifth inning of the first game. I very much believe that.
I mean, when you do the same thing with the same person 162 times in a row every year, it gets programmed. Do you ever drive someplace and you're kind of patterned to drive the same place and you're like going towards work, but you're supposed to be going to the store and you just end up driving towards work?
Oh yeah. I mean,
it's like your brain auto programs a lot of stuff in life.
Yeah. And it's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if you've noticed, but they've been playing some pretty interesting tunes on Fox Sports Detroit during like when the seventh inning stretch has been.
No.
There's kind of one, like, it's kind of rocking out doing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And then today there was like a, well, no, today was the Baltimore people playing it, but there was like a super jazzy one the other day. So listen for that when you're watching on the Fox Sports Detroit broadcast during the seventh inning stretch. It's just kind of like background music, but
nice.
They're clearly getting into it. Last thing, want to talk about a very highlight of the week for me. Warrick Saupold got the call.
Yes.
Pitched incredibly well today. Got the dub. Is he your favorite Aussie ever?
I'm trying to think of Aussies that would give him competition. But right now he surely is. Absolutely.
Heard the interview with him and Dan before the game on the radio today. Such a likable dude. I mean, obviously you can only tell so much from a radio interview, but I'm firmly in his corner.
Yeah. You know, I feel like a total hipster because I remember the day the news was they signed this kid out of Australia. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. They signed an Australian dude. This was back in 2012.
Yeah, he's been with the team for a while now.
And so, oh, that'll be interesting. And then he played for the Whitecaps and you kind of follow him there. And he's on Twitter. I'll follow him and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, the little boy is just growing up right before our eyes. He's getting so big.
So what's the hipster tie-in?
Hipsters are always like, oh, I knew this band before they were cool.
Gotcha.
So I knew Warrick before he was cool.
So now you, he's always stop. Been cool. Now you have to stop liking him, though, now that he's mainstream.
Right. I got to find somebody new.
Pirtle. Speaking of Pirtle, Pirtle's on the move. Did you see that?
They called up Pirtle?
He went to Lakeland. So now he moved from, no offense, but, you know, West Michigan to slightly better climates.
I got to tell you, though, Lakeland is playing at some high school field because Joker's being redone. At least in West Michigan, you get a real field, a real stadium.
This could just be personal preference, but I'd take Florida any day of the week. The rest of the stadiums in the Florida League are pretty decent.
Yeah, but I don't want to name drop, but I talked to an active Tigers player and we talked about the Midwest League versus the Florida State League. Mm-hmm. And these guys would much rather play in the Midwest League because the crowd, there's actual crowds. This in Florida, nobody's there.
That's true.
The stadiums are way too big for the crowds that are there.
Cause they're all
and the
ballparks
are huge.
Yeah.
So it helps the pitchers, but the hitters are not helped at all. Speaking of hitters not being helped by the Florida State League, have you seen Kristen Stewart's numbers?
I have. They're not bad.
He's hit 13 bombs. That leads all of minor league baseball, I think.
In one of the most, you know, like you said, pitching conducive atmospheres. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, get him up, have him play center field.
Oh, gosh,
seems
stop
to be where this is going. All right.
He's the new Moya, though.
Oh, for sure. Without a doubt. He's going to hit 230 each year from here on out, and eventually he will have the following size of, you know, Texas.
He's okay. The savior to all our problems.
Let's move on to the power rankings.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Yeah, okay. We have Power Rankings. It's been, man, 2 weeks since Power Rankings. A little rusty. I don't know if I can do it. Power Rankings. We have Models of Minivan.
Okay.
That one's still out there. Mm-hmm. And then we have, I feel like this is a pretty solid one, pizza toppings.
Oh, that
These are things that you put on a pizza.
That is a solid one, but I think that one's going to have to wait. Why don't we do Models of Minivans this week?
All right. That'll be the one we go to. All right. Starting at number seven, we have bacon. Bacon is something it's kind of low on the pizza toppings list because it's a little too greasy.
Is it?
Okay. It's bacon. Everybody loves bacon, mm-hmm. but I feel like bacon is a little too inconsistent sometimes. Sometimes it's like,
that's true.
It's almost like chewy and gummy on a, you know, and pizza place, your average pizza place is not buying high quality bacon. Mm-hmm. They're buying like the sweepings up off the floor when they're done making the good bacon.
And there are some that do like almost like little chunks of ham. That's not bacon. You can't say that that's bacon.
It's got to be like a little crispy and So bacon is number seven.
Okay.
Number six is pineapple. This one might be controversial, but pineapple gives you a whole new pizza experience, especially when paired with ham. Very good. it's sweet. It's wonderful. It's a little out of the box, right? But mm-hmm. it's pineapple is number six.
Okay.
All right. Number five is sausage. This ranking is going to be heavy on meat, because if you're going to have a standalone topping, you want it to be meat.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Sausage. I don't want the like big balls of sausage. I want kind of like crumbly sausage on my pizza.
Okay. You know who has great sausage is Jets.
Yeah. Jets has pretty solid sausage. Yeah. That's number five, sausage. Number four is onion.
Ugh.
Don't sass me. Don't sass me, Hall.
Sorry. This is your segment. Go on with the onions.
Onions are interesting and kind of savory. They make it's good on pizza. I want kind of like slivers of onion. I don't want the like minced onion that, you know, came out of a bag. Red onions are even better. But then they have to be kind of heated up so they're not, you know, too oniony, you know, just, they don't want them too much bite. But onions are good on pizza. I like onions on pizza. Number three is ham. Ham is, you know, it's meaty. It's kind of salty. It's delightful on pizza. I don't want the big like slabs. I don't want it to come straight from a deli where there's like a whole, you know, pile of the sliced ham. I want kind of like shards of ham, preferably thinly sliced. Not to be too fussy about ham, but ham's good. Ham's good.
Ham is good.
Number two is mushrooms. Mushrooms have a wonderful, interesting, and earthy flavor. There's all different kinds of mushrooms. I certainly prefer the fresh mushrooms to the canned, but canned are also good.
The thing is, how can you trust the people to pick the mushrooms and make sure that they're not getting the ones you can't eat and they are getting the ones you can eat?
They're not picking them off a forest floor, Hall. All right.
These are coming from
food service place. Like, this is food. They're not scavenging them from some, you know, mold infested back alley.
Think what you want.
Although you do live near Meesick, so maybe they're going around scavenging morals.
You drop so many obscure Northern Michigan references. I'm always so impressed. Like seven people have heard of Meesick.
Yeah, hey, if you go to Meesick and you got to hit the Moral Festival or whatever it is.
Just the regular, just all, it's all encompassing, just the Mushroom Festival.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Uh-oh. They don't play favorites.
Do you know, have you ever gone mushroom hunting?
I have not. I actually don't like mushrooms. No one really in my immediate circle of influence likes mushrooms either, so we don't really have a reason to.
I love mushrooms. Mushrooms are great in omelets, especially, I feel like. But no, I want to go mushroom hunting. I heard you need a pig.
A pig?
No, that's truffles. That's truffles. You need a pig. They like smell them out and then you can go find them.
You know who else could probably smell out truffles? Is a hippo.
Your jogging partner. Aren't you worried about getting trampled by the hippo?
No, I raised the hippo from being a hippo child. Like, we're buds. That's what people don't seem to realize about this. We're friends. The hippo isn't going to trample me.
This is like a callback from like 3 or 4 podcasts ago.
I
nobody's going to remember.
So much hate about that. I had 2 people in real life text me and tell me that it was stupid. And I had like 3 or 4 people on Twitter tell me that's a terrible idea.
These people aren't wrong. These people are not wrong. Where were we? Two was mushrooms.
Yeah, you just finished mushrooms.
Number one, and I always let you guess. Go ahead.
It's got to be pepperoni.
It's pepperoni. Yeah, you can't not pick pepperoni. It's a classic pizza topping. It's about the right size and the coverage for your pizza. It's good for consumers of pizza, and it's good for producers of pizza. There's no reason why, you know, that pepperoni's not on all these pizzas, because pepperoni is good.
It makes you wonder, how did, like, this is how my brain works. How did pepperoni become like the topping when the forefathers of pizza were making this, and like, we decreed pepperoni shall be on all of them. Like, why wasn't it salami, you know,
or capicola or pastrami? Yeah.
Pepperoni? They made the right choice, but it still doesn't make me question the process.
When are people eating pepperoni outside of on a pizza?
That's a very true. I don't know.
You don't. I mean, maybe on a pizza sub, but it's not like you're busting, you know, a pepperoni sandwich, right?
Pepperoni owes all that it is to pizza.
Yeah, it's a symbiosis, I feel. But
true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. So that was the top 7 pizza. Oh, I'm sorry, at the beginning, did you say you wanted the minivans?
Yeah, the minivans.
Oh, I think I misheard. I'm sorry. It's kind of done now.
Yeah.
We'll have to try for next time.
Maybe next week.
I'm sorry. I misheard. I thought my connection is a little shaky. All right. I have a couple honorable mentions this week.
Okay.
Honorable mentions, and you're going to woof at these because that's your thing. But I want to throw out a couple favorites out there. Artichoke hearts.
Woof.
Have you ever had – I told you. Have you ever had artichoke hearts on a pizza? It's amazing.
I don't think I've ever had artichoke heart in any form.
Oh, it'll change your life. They're delicious, especially the marinated ones.
That seems extremely hard to believe. But I'll take your word for it.
Basil? How about basil?
Okay. I got nothing wrong. Nothing against
basil. A nice margarita pizza is really nice. And that leads me to the next one, fresh tomatoes. Hmm. If you've never had like fresh tomatoes, basil, and a little balsamic drizzle on your pizza, like a real margarita pizza, it's really good.
How do you feel about like white sauce on your pizza?
No, I'm not feeling it. I also don't really feel barbecue chicken pizza.
No.
Some people love it, and I'm just like, don't be trying it.
I like barbecue pizza or barbecue chicken. I like pizza, but they don't have to mix.
Right. I'm not digging it. All right, here's the bottom three. Okay. Number three worst is black olives.
Agreed.
Definitely. I hate black olives. If I get them on a pizza or like on nachos or whatever, I'm picking those little bastards off. I don't want black olives. If they're green olives, I will at least eat them. But the black olives are just toxic little donuts of hate. I hate those things. Number two is anchovies. Mm-hmm. And I feel like anchovies is kind of a cliched thing you'd put on a pizza. I don't even know of any. I've never seen anybody eat anchovies on a pizza.
No.
It's like this throwback joke.
Do you know that traditional Caesar dressing has anchovies in it?
Like in the dressing?
Yeah, like little.
Or in the salad.
Little bits. No, like in the dressing. Like that's the way it was originally made. You know, like Ken's and whatnot. I don't think they put anchovies in anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Learning.
Yeah. I heard Pizza Hut makes their, like, they use anchovy oil.
Could be.
Pizza Hut always wrecks my insides. I don't want to eat Pizza Hut anymore. Okay. That's number two. The worst topping to put on pizza is, do you want to guess?
Ground beef?
Ground beef. Good job, Paul. You got both of them this week. Ground beef is not a pizza topping.
No, it's not.
Ground beef is like something you put in tacos. Beef is like, you know, for a burger. You're going to have it with ketchup and different toppings. It is not a pizza topping. Do not order a pizza with flipping ground beef on it. You're stupid.
I have nothing to add. That's gospel right there.
And that's power rankings for this week.
All right. Are you ready to look ahead to next week?
Please. Yes.
Okay. In the coming week, we play six games. The first three are at home against Minnesota, who historically, in the terms of this year, is the only team that we can beat. On Monday, Zimmerman against Jose Berrios, who is a right-hander. On Tuesday, Big Pelf. Oh, we didn't talk about Big Pelf's gem of a start. We can get into, you know, next week how he strings two gems together. Big Pelf taking on Phil Hughes. I got a stat to drop. Are you ready? Miggy is a career 439 hitter versus Phil Hughes with six homers in 41 at-bats. Not a small sample size.
Oh, my gosh. That's destroying him.
Wednesday, JV looks to keep his role going against Ricky Nolasco, who apparently is still in the major leagues. Friday, we travel. No, I take that back. We host Tampa Bay. Annie Ball goes against Matt Andrees, who just threw an absolute gem yesterday. Saturday, Michael Fulmer takes on Matt Moore. And Sunday, Jordan Zimmerman, Jordan Swimmerman, if you will, is on the mound to take on former friend Drew Smiley. Any hitters that you are excited to watch this week in those groups?
For sure. Well, not really. Sano, maybe. But he's been scuffling, right?
Yeah, he's hitting like 220.
Yes. You know, Mauer isn't exciting, so that's all I have for the Twins.
Did you see he's leading off these days?
Yeah, I did, which probably makes some sense.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a high on-base guy. I was looking, there was when they were playing the Indians, him and Carlos Santana were the two leadoff hitters in that game.
Right.
That's traditional.
Baseball has changed.
It really has. Corey Dickerson for the Rays is kind of an interesting one. He's a good player. He's a little wasted down in Tampa. He was doing much better when he was playing at Coors, but, you know, aren't we all? Trying to think. There really aren't a whole lot of, like, real exciting players in either of these teams. Any pitchers that you're excited to see throw?
Where do the Rays find all these young guys who just kick ass all the time?
Well, let's see. One of the three they found from us.
Yeah, Smiley. But, obviously.
Yeah, Moore's finally rounding back into shape, and Andrees, as far as I know, he just was kind of just
who's the bushy up. Who's their ace now? The bushy haired kind of gut kid who looks like he's 12.
Chris Archer.
That's, yeah.
Did I tell you my Chris Archer Chick-fil-A story?
I think so.
Okay, I won't get into it then.
You saw Chris Archer at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And then you tweeted him about it.
Yeah, I asked him if he was a Nuggets or a sandwich guy, and he said that he was a Nuggets guy. And I tweeted to him, yeah, me too. But in fact, I'm actually more of a sandwich kind of guy. But I wanted Chris Archer to like me.
Such a dork.
He favored it too, so you know he like saw it. So he acknowledged my lie. So if you're listening, Chris, sorry.
You lied to a baseball player over Twitter for his approval.
Yeah, it happens.
Good job.
It happens. Okay, we need to make record predictions. You have six games. Last time we were on, we were coming off, I think we won 6 of 7. Everyone was happy. And you're like, nope, we're going to be terrible next week. And sure enough, we were but terrible for the last 2 weeks. So it's on you to get us going back in the right direction. What do you think we're going to be this week?
2 weeks ago, I predicted we'd go 1-5. Mm-hmm. And then we went 1-5 again. So we were like 2-10. Mm-hmm. I think so. This week I'm predicting something different. I'm predicting 5-1.
Nice. That is what I have also. Is this, you know, just being optimistic? Yes, absolutely. But I really want to see 5-1. That'd be nice. There's no way that we're winning all six games. But these are two very beatable teams. Just go out there and do what, you know, all of you can do.
Be all you can be in the Army?
Sure.
That's great.
That feels fair. Okay, let's move on to our last segment of the show, and that is, of course, Picks to Click. Who do you think will have the better week? Or, you know, we each pick a guy. Whoever has the best week wins. Last week, our matchup was Justin Verlander against Jose Iglesias. Iglesias yep. did not have the best week. Verlander.
No,
also, one would say his first start was pretty terrible. His second start was pretty great. I will let you make the call. It kind of felt fairly toss-up-y.
Yeah, I feel like Verlander had the better of that.
I will take.
I do.
I will take it, considering I was down 2-0 to start the year.
Yeah, so we're 2-2 now.
2-2.
Yeah, I mean, Iglesias was himself, and maybe a little worse than himself. So he wasn't worthy. He did hit one bomb, though.
Mm-hmm. Off the best pitcher in the entire world.
Yeah, that was crazy. But then we did not win. Mm-hmm. So
I'll give you like a little asterisk next to his name on my sheet.
Thank you.
That's like half a point or something.
Yeah, that's all I do for life is go around hoping to collect asterisks. Thank you. this week, I'm going to take K-Rod.
Ooh.
Because I'm feeling very confident they're going to win some games. He's going to come in. There's some bad teams, and we're going to win. So he's going to see some time. And he just looked pretty good today. So I feel like he's coming around. He had a nice break. He's ready to mow people down. K-Rod.
I love how we say he had a nice break. Like that was his choice. Not having a lead for the better part of the last 2 weeks pretty much necessitated that. I'm going to go with James McCann. It feels like he's on the cusp of starting to break out of this season-long funk. I think this is the week he does it.
You see where he got the hit and they asked him if they wanted the ball? And he's like, oh, yeah, keep that for me.
I love that he's still willing to, I don't know. That shows me that there's a little bit of life still in this team. Like,
yep.
Clearly they're not ready to die.
Let's hope
baseball wise, obviously. Okay, so you went K-Rod, I went James McCann. You guys can vote somehow on who wins. Tweet us on next Sunday. All right, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com. On the Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And you spelled that by putting pod in front of Castellanos, the third baseman from the Detroit Tigers. And then we would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. Eric, do you have any other messages to the listeners before we go?
My favorite typeface is Century Gothic.
Okay. Where do you come down on Comic Sans? This I have to hear.
Oh, it's an absolute turd of a font.
It's a disgrace. Okay, good. Yeah,
because I got so mad because I took some paperwork home from my young child's school, and it had Comic Sans, and I was all bent out of shape, and then I just realized, oh, this is actually from a preschool. Maybe I better check myself.
Question, was it like a letter to you, or was it like something that that your child was reading?
Yeah, it was like a schedule or whatever. Yeah, I mean,
that's unacceptable. Type like a grown-up.
Don't type like Dan Gilbert. Get a real font.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.